Environmental Health Services branch at CDC has a couple of major goals. We are aiming to improve and ensure the quality and accessibility of environmental health services in the United States. And in order to do that, we need to develop and enhance the environmental health professionals who are delivering those services. Environmental health problems are many and varied, as I'm sure you're aware. It's a very interesting field of work that we're working in. These are just a few of the historic outbreaks and situations that have happened around the United States, and I really should be updating this slide. This presentation came from Dr. Sharonda Buchanan. I understand she's still in the book as the presenter here, but I'm filling in for her because she's filling in for somebody else on another presentation. What are the problems with environmental health practice in this country? In a lot of places, environmental health, as it's practiced, is outmoded. It's not gone through a lot of updating as the years have progressed. And a lot of programs lack environmental health leadership. And particularly as we see the baby boomers retiring, we are losing a lot of the brains and the historic background to our profession. The role of environmental health is not very well understood by the public, by policymakers, or by potential students coming into the field. So we have a lot of work to do because we are an invisible profession. There has been a decrease, unfortunately, in the number of environmental health professionals, and there is a disconnect, particularly on the West Coast, between environmental health and public health. This is a couple of graphics here on the decline in enrollment in the accredited programs of environmental health. And last week, we received more bad news where two more programs are closing their doors because of business decisions about a lack of enrollment in environmental health programs in those schools. There are two or three others that are hoping to start programs, so it's a kind of you lose some and then you win some, but overall the picture is a declining enrollment. As Sarah mentioned in the introduction, the branch gathered together a number of organizations a number of years ago, 4 or 5 years ago now, to look at creating a strategy to revitalize environmental health services in this country. And they came out with these six major goals. And this morning we're going to focus on fostering leadership and developing the workforce. If you haven't seen that strategy, it is on our website at cdc.gov/nceh/ehs. I'm sorry, I should have put that on the slide. When I get to it in a minute, I'll point it out again. What's CDC's role? And as Sarah said again in the introduction, we really need to develop and foster leadership to enhance services and to promote the development of an effective environmental health workforce. We're involved with a number of current workforce initiatives beyond just the leadership question. These are a few of them. I'll point out the one at diversity among environmental health practitioners. We have been working very closely with Eastern Kentucky University to increase the diversity in that program, and that is probably one of the most successful programs in this country. And we are seeking to increase the number of accredited programs. Currently, we're also looking at community colleges as a stepping stone option into accredited programs, and this came about because we had on our website a piece by Mike Herring from the branch talking about the retiring military coming back and looking to enter into civilian workforce. And so a couple of community colleges who are close to military bases contacted us, and they are at the core of a national consortium of community colleges with their two-year program. So we're thinking this could be a stepping stone into the four-year accredited programs. Many of you have probably seen this, the core competencies for environmental health professionals. And some of these obviously relate to management and leadership responsibilities. The goals coming out of the revitalization strategy had a number of different subheaders under there. And for the fostering leadership, we can look at this and see how few years ago how it was envisioned that we could foster leadership around this country by supporting national conferences, by joining in on the environmental health listserv. How many in the room are on the environmental health listserv? Just as a look That's great. Wonderful. It's working. That's a good way of sharing information, getting answers to questions quickly, to develop guidance documents and recommendations. And then the last two, really get at what we've been doing the last few years, where we've created a leadership institute and have a number of graduates all around this country, as I'll show you in a minute. And then Sharunda's dream also is to develop an environmental health service corps like the Epidemiology Intelligence Service, the EIS offices around the country, but we're thinking we could do that within environmental health. Here's a picture of one of the graduating classes for the Leadership Institute, and maybe some of you see yourselves in that photo. I know there's some people here that are graduates, so congratulations, you've gone through a great program. Down the bottom of this slide actually is the website address. If you wanted to go to the website, you could go here for the EPHILI, the Environmental Public Health Leadership Institute information, or if you just take off that last five letters, then you get into the general website. The Leadership Institute has a number of objectives, and we're hoping to inculcate into a number of individuals that have come through varied careers and really don't have a public health background. We're trying to give them a broad background in public health and environmental health where that's missing. We're trying to help them think through what it takes to have effective teams in their organizations, to think through systems thinking, to think about what are unintended consequences of taking actions, how do we work through problems, come up with creative solutions. It really has developed a network of leaders around the country that we at the CDC in the Environmental Health Services branch can reach out and connect with people in the local and state health departments that have gone through this program to effect changes in their region. Many, many leadership competencies, and lastly, the hands-on projects. Many projects that I'm hoping that we can better market to the environmental health field that have they've done great work in the last 3 or 4 years that really should have been showcased, I think, a lot more. So we're going to try and work on that in this next year. Next few slides, I'm just going to show you the breakdown of the class makeup. And in this first cohort that went through, many of the folks were from state health units, environmental health units. And as you can see, most of them did not come from accredited programs in this cohort. The following year, 2006-2007, we have a lot more local environmental health practitioners. And here we can see there are more folks coming in from accredited programs in this cohort. We have 41 fellows currently going through. I was in St. Louis a week and a half ago now, looking down at Nicole from St. Louis, and I was just very impressed. I've just started, as you heard in the introduction, with CDC, coming from a local health department, a state health department, and hadn't been involved with the Leadership Institute to any extent, except for the very first one about 5 years ago. And during my tour as NEHA president, I was out in Nebraska about a month ago, and someone came up and started talking to me, and he said, "You know, I came to that leadership introduction about 5 years ago," and he said, "I was really in two minds about where I should head in my career and whether I really should stay in environmental public health." And he said, "After I went through that, went through this leadership, the early introduction leadership that you mentioned, Sarah," he said, "I made a decision to stay in environmental health and to seek leadership positions." And he was actually running for the president of the Nebraska Environmental Health Association that day. So I came home with my heart warm that this is making a difference in people's lives. We don't often see things straight away. We do see the projects coming out at the end of their year through this cohort. But several years down the road, I really think this is going to reap a lot of benefits for the practice of environmental health. This may be a little difficult to see in the back of the room, but which attempting to show here where we've got individuals that have gone through this is, I think, about 120 have gone through this in the United States. We've just been accepting lots of mail coming in for this cohort 4, and that Actually, the deadline for that closed at the end of October, but it's all paid for by CDC and attracts some really talented individuals to come through the program. And this is our tagline: Environmental Health Services touches everyone's life every day, whether you realize it or not. Thank you. There may be questions, or do you want to do that at the end? Yes, ma'am. Yes. It's a very good question. The question is about the disconnect between environmental health, public health, and especially on the West Coast, and what do I attribute that to? I think there was a tension probably in the early 80s in California particularly. Other states like Oregon, Washington State, some of the large cities like Maricopa County and Phoenix, Arizona, they went to a more fees-for-service model. And when they did that, they were able to cover their costs of service. And at that point, they were financially able to go out as a separate agency. There's probably a lot of drivers there that I don't know about with the history of it, but I do know now, today, in California, they have a California Conference of Directors of Environmental Health, and they're very politically active, looking at their own environmental health issues rather than being in a public health agency that's looking at multitudes of issues, and environmental health is just being a part of that. With that CCDEH in California, the Conference of Directors, they're able to directly lobby. They figured out a way to directly lobby to the policymakers in Sacramento to look after their needs. I'm actually thinking about this for a NEHA plenary session, since it's my year as president for NEHA, because my dream would be at the local level we would have environmental health and environmental protection joined together, because when the community comes to us, they don't make that distinction in their mind about environmental health, environmental protection. They're thinking environment. And I think if we could get that at the local level and support that from the federal level and the state levels, with ties directly in, it may be that we would be in a public health agency in some places, like I'm thinking Lincoln, Nebraska, a truly comprehensive environmental health, environmental protection program embedded in a very vibrant public health department. Out west, I don't think we're going to be able to reverse the engineering and get them back into the public health department, but I think we can strengthen the ties, particularly with bioterrorism, PAN-flu planning, all those kind of things that we need to have a very good integrated partnership between environmental health and public health. Yes, ma'am. The question is relating to EPA and other federal agencies and getting them to be a part of the Environmental Public Health Leadership Institute. Our main customers in Environmental Health Services branch, the way we view them, are the state environmental health agencies and the local environmental health agencies. So we're trying to get as many folks from those two areas as we can into the institute. Now, we have in recent years, as you saw the class makeup, added categories like the NGOs, academia, and trying to broaden our cadre of folks coming through. For your question, though, with EPA, if you come this afternoon, 4:30, there is a session where CDC, ATSDR, and EPA are all joined together in a collaboration to try and improve community input into environmental health decisions. One of the thoughts that we want to do and want to create is a leadership academy for community leaders. Often in my experience, they are activists at the community level that are so interested in what they do, they're passionate about what they do, but to get to train them to be effective leaders in their community to really turn things around, they need some extra training. And we're thinking this academy may be very similar to the Institute in some ways. It might even have some of the same classes. But that way we could bridge environmental health and environmental protection at the local level and help community members really become effective leaders around these issues in their community, kind of a train-the-trainer approach. Maybe at the end.
Just to clarify, this is a one-year program, but people only attend it periodically during the year, and Nicole Cosma, our next speaker, will talk about that. So they actually are full-time in their positions. But you bring up a good point of what other things, and there are many things that you might find on the website or talk to Rob afterwards about other things that they are trying to do, promoting online learning and the competencies through courses. They've done a lot of grants in the field in the last 7 years to agencies to develop things like evaluation modules, online communication modules, teaching people about the 10 essential services, because we know that people can't get away from their jobs to go somewhere very often. Thank you for your questions.